It is good to see everybody who is out with us this evening, especially the visitors that we have, and we do have some. I know it's an interesting night right now to be out, and we're all thinking about the weather. In fact, several people, probably five or six before the service started this evening, said you might want to think about cutting a little bit short tonight. And the more I thought about that, it's probably a good idea. It occurred to me during the early part of the service that there is something that I've been wanting to talk about. And so I'm not going to do the sermon that I had prepared. There was a question received some time ago that I've just forgotten to deal with. If you'll turn your Bibles to Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13, we're going to start from there. Now, I don't want to say this is going to be like an invitation because it's going to be longer than that. You know, when I get going, I promise you it's not going to be 5 minutes long. But it won't be as long as a normal sermon. But I do want you, with the passages we look at this evening, to follow along very, very carefully. Philippians chapter 2, 12 and 13 says this. Verse 12 is one we tend to know very well. We reference fairly often. Verse 13, not as much. This is what the passage says. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for His good pleasure. Now, we're going to talk about that passage, particularly verse 13, and we're going to talk about the question that I received about it. But before we do that, I want us to look at two other passages that say something very similar to verse 13. And I think when we look at these passages, the question will make even more sense. Let's go first of all to Ephesians chapter 3. And let's look at verses 14 through 16. Ephesians 3, 14 through 16 says this. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven on earth is named, that according to the riches of His glory, He may grant you to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in your inner being. Now turn over to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. And when we get over there, let's read verses 20 and 21. Hebrews 13, 20 and 21. The passage says, "Now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good that you may do His will, working in us that which is pleasing in His sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." Now, what do all three of those passages have in common? They speak of God working in us. And the question I received going back to Philippians chapter 2, and particularly verse 13, what does this idea of God working in us mean? Brethren, I think that there is a tendency among us sometimes to avoid those sorts of passages. To avoid passages that teach that God, either the God the Father, God the Son, or God the Spirit, is working in us in some way. And I think I know why we tend to avoid those sorts of passages. It's because there's so much error taught about them. Whenever we come across passages dealing with God working in us, the Spirit working in us, empowering, strengthening us, well, we don't want to fall into that trap that so many fall into, this miraculous personal indwelling, where even against our own will, God is doing everything. Everything that in any way relates to our salvation, God is doing it all by working in us. There's absolutely nothing that we do. That's a shame. Number one, that the error is taught because it's unbiblical. Number two, that it sometimes causes us to avoid these types of verses. Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13, and especially verse 13, it's there to encourage Christians. It's there to build us up, to offer us peace, to strengthen our joy. The passage there in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 16, which talked about God strengthening us through His Spirit, it's there to encourage us, to comfort us, to help us understand we're not in this alone. We do not have to rely solely upon ourselves for salvation, and thank God for that. Because if we did, none of us would be saved. The passage there in Hebrews 13, it does the same thing, telling us that God is helping. But here's the question. How is God doing that? How is the Spirit doing that? Is it some sort of mysterious, miraculous, empowering that happens irregardless of us, that's completely outside of our control, that's completely outside of our will, and just something where God just kind of sneaks in there in us and just gets to work and we can't even stop it? There's nothing we can do about it. Is that what this teaches? Not at all, brethren. And what we have to be willing to do at all times is let the Bible interpret itself. And I think if we turn our Bibles over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13, we're going to find there precisely how this working is taking place. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13. As Paul writes to these brothers, he says, "And we also thank God constantly for this, that when you received the Word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it, not as the Word of men, but as what it really is, the Word of God," now note it, "which is at work in you believers." The Word of God, which is at work in you believers. Now, I don't know if you like to write your own references next to verses, if you build your own reference system. But if you do, brethren and friends, when you come across passages that speak of God empowering, that speak of the Spirit working in us, when you come across those passages, just go ahead and write down 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 13. Why? Because it shows us a how. It shows us a how. Is there even more to it than that? I don't know. I don't know. But I do know this. God works in us. God strengthens us. And God empowers us through His Word. Why? Because it's not the Word of men. It's the Word of God. Now with that in mind, turn back over to Philippians 2. And let's look at verse 12 again. Because there's one thing we really need to understand about this working. And it's this. It is not passive on our part. "Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, So now, not only is in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Friends, does it sound like this working that God is accomplishing in us is passive on our part? That there's nothing we have to do with it? A passage that makes it even more clear. Go to Romans 6, and let's look at verse 17. Romans chapter 6. And verse 17. In this passage, Paul says, "But thanks be to God that you who were once slaves of sin have become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching to which you were committed." Friends, I want to encourage you. Embrace those passages that speak of God working in us. Embrace those passages that speak of God empowering, God strengthening, God working for our good. Don't shy away from them because of the error taught in the world about those topics. Embrace them because they're there to be embraced. Does that mean we can always explain everything? No, it doesn't. But we can go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. And we can look at what Paul said. Seeing the Word of God at work in those believers. Why would it be thought strange that God would use the Word to work in saints? Why would that be thought strange? Everything we know about God, specifics, every specific thing we know about God, we know for one reason and one reason only, the Bible tells us so. Now, we can go outside, as we talked about this morning, and we can look at the wonders of creation, and we can know from that there must be an intelligent, immeasurably powerful being who did that. That's what Paul talks about in Romans chapter 1, verses 18 through 32. What can be known about God is evident to them because it's been clearly perceived in the things that are made. But that tells us nothing specific about God. We would not know that God works in believers. We would know nothing about the Holy Spirit. We would know nothing about God's personality, His attributes. We would know nothing about sin, about the need for forgiveness, about how to achieve that forgiveness. We would know nothing about salvation or heaven or hell. We would know nothing if it were not revealed. So why should it be thought strange that God works in saints through the Scriptures? It shouldn't be. In fact, it would be strange indeed if God worked through each individual Christian mysteriously and miraculously. That's what would be strange. But friends, that's not what the Bible teaches. When you look at Philippians chapter 2, don't stop at verse 12. Verse 12 tells us that our salvation is not a passive act. But verse 13 tells us that God's helping us get there. Hebrews chapter 13, 20 and 21 is teaching us that God is helping us get there. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 14 through 16 is teaching us that God is helping us get there. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 17 is telling us how. The Word is at work in you believers. That's why here at the beginning of this year, there has been so much emphasis placed upon studying, spending time in this book, taking what's on these pages and putting it in the heart. Because when we do that, we know something for sure. We know God is at work.
What a wonderful thing that is.
So, I don't know who asked that question. I apologize that it's taken me this long to deal with it. I completely forgot about it. But I do hope that helps. And I really do encourage you. When you come to all those passages that speak of God or the Spirit or Jesus, someone in the Godhead dwelling in us, working in us, powering, strengthening us, just remember 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Make a little note. Perhaps it explains how. Let the Bible interpret the Bible. There could be some here tonight who are not Christians, and if that's the case, you've got an opportunity now to render your obedience to Christ. Believe with all your heart that He is the Messiah, the Son of God. Repent of your sins. Confess your faith in Him as Lord. And be baptized to have your sins washed clean from your soul. Baptized in water. And we got everything prepared behind the screen. The only question is, are you? And if the answer to that question is yes, please come forward now as together we stand and sing.
Have you been to